You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh.
Here we are. It's Midwest Vegan Radio, episode 3.
Episode 3. I'm Ryan.
I'm Dallas.
And Elliot's over there.
Hello.
And today we have a very special guest with us. We are talking about vegan mentors and kind of the importance of having somebody that can really answer questions for you and guide you through the process if you need help. So we have our friend Jessica Olson, who has a blog called The Domestic Vegan, and she was my kind of unofficial mentor when I went vegan, and so I called her all the time and probably annoyed her to no end. But hi, Jessica.
Hi.
So, yeah.
TheDomesticVegan.com, right?
Yes.
That's how they can find you?
Yep.
Okay, good.
So, I actually found Jessica through Colleen Patrick Goudreau's message board, her forums.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she kind of found out that I was local and she was local. And so we met once at French Meadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I probably annoyed you a lot.
No, you didn't. No.
But it was really nice, you know, to develop this relationship and to be able to contact her. There was a lot of questions that I had, nutrition things and, you know, about getting enough calories. And I just remember texting you all the time and just asking questions about how to be vegan because I didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
And then you were able to tell me about local restaurants, where to eat and what places were good. I think that I knew because I was so interested in everything that was about veganism. So I actually did a lot of research. I didn't have a ton of kind of the basic questions. But it was still helpful to have somebody that I just, you know, because there's a lot of good information online and there's a lot of good resources, good forums and, mm-hmm. and other podcasts and books and people doing things. But it's different to be able to have somebody that you can just reach out to and
a friend with mm-hmm. common interests. And I think the internet is super helpful and books are super helpful, obviously, but it doesn't replace the, you know, one-on-one real like person mm-hmm. connection. And I think it's nice to, and especially when you're first going vegan, like obviously it's a small, you know, portion of the population that is vegan now. And it's nice to feel like you're not alone,
right.
I think, and just know that there are other like-minded people and doing the same thing and interested in the same stuff.
And so your blog, The Domestic Vegan, is primarily about food. You do a lot of recipes and posting about things like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of recipes. I also feature my rescue dog, Mabel, sometimes. And just kind of showing people how delicious and beautiful and even like fancy, you know, plant-based food can be. And it's primarily about food, but I also talk, you know, somewhat about health on there and some restaurant reviews and book reviews and, I don't know how it will evolve over time, but that's mostly what it's been so far.
And you've had quite a good following. You were interviewed by Shape Magazine, and so you actually do get a lot of people kind of asking you for help, almost the same relationship that we had, but they're not necessarily local.
Right,
or,
exactly.
You know, they're looking for somebody to connect with in the same way.
Yeah, and I'm always happy to get emails like that. I think, you know, it feels great to know that people are interested in shifting more towards plant-based eating or, you know, going fully vegan. And I think it's exciting to be contacted from people who are looking for advice or just to say that they've been inspired to go vegan or are interested in learning more about it or, you know, looking for book recommendations mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
We actually, the Animal Rights Coalition has started a program called Vegan University. So, Dallas, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, sure.
Which is a good tie-in.
Yeah, the Animal Rights Coalition is a local, to the Twin Cities, a Minnesota-based abolitionist animal rights group. And a big part of that is about promoting veganism and making it as attractive and easy as possible, really supporting.
Easy being the keyword.
Well, yeah, I mean, but being really supportive and creating as many opportunities for people to get support around the transition to vegan living. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we have decided to do is launch a program called Vegan University, and there are various components to that. So there's educational components like workshops, and I do grocery shopping tours around local area grocery stores and actually go through the aisles of people and show them how to read labels and products that they may not have heard of before and what to look out for. So that's been great. But also, we thought that it would be great to have a way for people to get connected with somebody who was could be a mentor, literally mm-hmm. be a mentor for them, you know, be Facebook friends and have exchange cell phone numbers. And the mentor vegan could alert the person in transition about different events that are happening, mm-hmm. Invite them to go out to coffee or come to a dine out with them or whatever, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And just in general, be available to
yep.
help answer quick questions or, you know, I'm going to talk about what we talked about last podcast. I'm going to Easter with my family and I'm worried about that and how can I deal with that and what should I look out for? And
well, and we intentionally have different mentors who mm-hmm. are from across a wide spectrum of different backgrounds. So
and interests.
And interests. So if somebody is really interested, if somebody is a parent or they're pregnant and they want to connect with somebody else, they have concerns about raising children or vegan pregnancy, we can connect them with people who've had that experience. If somebody is, you know, from a rural background where they have a lot of farmers in the family who may be taking this as a personal affront on their being,
yeah.
Then we've got people who have that experience. We've got people who are really interested in a health aspect, like mm-hmm. they're trying to deal with type 2 diabetes mm-hmm. or heart disease. And so people who have been, have had positive experiences with that. And then people who are seriously interested in figuring out what they can do, how they can take their veganism to the next step in terms of promoting veganism themselves, if it's really been a life-changing kind of awakening for them to realize what this way of eating can do in terms of reducing animal suffering and restoring the environment and just all of the host of positive attributes from that and how they can become a better advocate. So mm-hmm. we've got all of those things. And yeah, we're really excited to launch it. I think the key is that we need to get online. But at this point, if anybody out there is listening and they're curious about this, feel free to just email us at midwestveganradio@gmail.com. And we're happy to talk with you more about that and get you connected with somebody right away. That's not a problem.
Or you can just go to the store, Ethique Nouveau, and fill out we've got a little application form, which isn't scary. It's just, what are your interests? You know, is it volunteering or puppy mills or dine outs, more social stuff? Contact information. You can look through the binder and pick who you would like your mentor to be. And then they'll just get in contact with you and go from there.
Yeah.
And they can be as involved or as uninvolved as you want them to be. And just kind of check in on you, see how things are going. And
yeah, I think, I'm really excited about this possibility, and I think because when I went vegan, I was 15 years old, and I didn't know anybody else who was. Well, I knew one person who was, but we didn't have anything else in common except for our veganism. That was like the only thing, and I didn't really want to be affiliated with her. And then there was a friend of a classmate of mine. Her older brother was vegan, and I know that. He like got a copy of Diet for a New America for me and sent it through his sister for me. So that was my one contact with that person. But aside from that, it was just reading literature and kind of knowing that there were people out there that felt the way that I did. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was just trial and error and gritting my teeth. And really, it was very difficult. And I think that, anything that we can do to make it easier for people is going to be fantastic. So,
mm-hmm.
But I do think that the social aspect of going vegan is the most difficult of all. It's not giving up cheese. It's actually figuring out how to navigate relationships from this new place that you stand, which is mm-hmm. that you have values that are you're acting on that other people may not understand or respect or expect you to continue with. And so you need to be able to figure out how to interact with people in that new way and be able to hold your ground or, you know, just essentially, you know, maybe deal with teasing or figure out, you know how to answer questions or how to field them if people want to learn more and you're so new at it yourself, what do you do? So,
and I'd like to also mention, because I think probably all three of us do get a lot of questions from the vegans in our life that have even been vegan for a while, but that aren't maybe as outgoing or as comfortable yet in saying what you need to say and really standing your ground. And so this doesn't have to necessarily be for people that are new vegans either. I think, or new to the idea, or new vegetarians or people that are interested. Just if you're, you know, even if you've been vegan for a while and you just still need some help really figuring out how that translates into your life. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hook up with someone to, chances are if you already know them, but, you know, just kind of say, will you be this person for me, or can I call you with questions and just be available.
And I really wouldn't worry about imposing on people. Like Ryan said, oh, maybe I annoyed you so much.
Yeah, isn't that what I you didn't at all.
But really, I mean, for me anyway, I can only speak for me, but this is why I'm here. Like, this is my claimed reason for being, is to help people become vegan and stay
right.
vegan. And so, mm-hmm. and a lot of people, I mean, most of us don't just do this on a whim. Like, there's a
right.
reason that we've taken the step and made these choices. And obviously, I mean, the vast majority of us have this based in morals and ethics and values. And so if we can help people express their same values in the world that way, and stick with it and make choices that they can feel good about,
yes.
Over the long term, like, that's a huge privilege to be able to support somebody in that. So I really would encourage you to just go ahead and ask somebody and don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
Yeah, don't be shy at all.
We want to hear you and we want to help. And I mean, we think that it just, people know that already, but mm-hmm. maybe we don't say it enough, that if you ever have questions, just come up and ask us, because that's what we live to do.
Yeah. And I think most of us love talking about that stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I never tire of it. I mean, whether it's talking to people who aren't vegan or other vegans, I think the vast majority of vegans, I've never met a vegan who isn't extremely passionate about their ethics and their viewpoint and just being vegan. And so I think it's fun to connect with people
yeah.
in that aspect.
I'm thinking of my husband right now. Like, if somebody came up to him, he'd say, oh, you should just talk to Dallas about that, because he's not somebody who's going to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. And he will explain it if somebody's really open. And the other thing, too, is, like, I never get tired of talking to people who are really interested.
Right.
And knowing if it's just, you know, if somebody is just kind of picking or asking ridiculous, ludicrous
oh, yeah,
questions,
absolutely.
Then I'll just, you know.
I think there's a difference.
Plants have feelings,
yeah.
Dallas.
you want to know how to answer somebody who says plants have feelings, then, you know, talk to somebody like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, not just to ask questions, but sometimes just to vent, too, because even if, you know, I want to call you and see how you've dealt with the situation, and even if I don't necessarily want to take your advice, maybe just to know that someone else has been through it.
Right.
To just kind of be a sounding board as well. Yeah.
And there are some books, actually, well, there's one book that I would recommend.
Which is a good segue into the next section.
Which is a good one book that I would recommend in there, which is called Vegan Freak. And there's a podcast, Vegan Freak Radio. They have like 108 or something episodes.
I don't think they're currently recording anymore, but they
right.
do have a lot of good
They have a lot of archived stuff. And essentially, the people who did that, they wrote this book called Vegan Freak. And the subtitle is, what is it? Oh. Being vegan in a non-vegan world.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And so that's a fantastic place if you are new and you really don't know anybody else in your area, like I was when I was 15 and going vegan by myself. That's a fantastic book I would recommend. It's funny, it's lighthearted, but it also has a ton of great practical information. And they don't shy away from tough issues. I don't know. There's also a book called Living Among Meat Eaters, which mm-hmm. is many people know about. That one's not so much my style.
Me either.
It would be I think it's been helpful for some people, but I tend to recommend Vegan Freak over Living Among Meat Eaters just because it's so practical and it really says, like, hey, if you're pissed off, this is something practical you can do, as opposed to like just breathe and meditate, because that doesn't work for all of us.
Right.
Especially in the moment, or when you're dealing with an entire team of, you know, coworkers who are all really hostile. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend checking that out, and we can put that on our blog.
Yeah, we will put that book on there.
Cool.
That Dallas kind of segued us into, we want to hear from you about what resources do you share with people? What is your favorite resource to give to somebody when you're going vegan? And what we'd like you to do is to just post it, you know, post a comment on our blog related to this episode and just let us know, because we'd kind of like to compile a little resource directory of just, you know, what you really like, because there are, you know, there are as many different resources as there are types of vegans and personalities, and what works for some people, like Vegan Freaks versus Living Among Meat Eaters. I prefer Vegan Freaks. I really like their just kind of no BS style, and Living Among Meat Eaters definitely a little softer. But there's so much good information out there. My personal favorite, and I think everybody knows about this, is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Mm-hmm. She has a podcast, Vegetarian Food for Thought, but it really is. I don't think I'm incorrect in saying that she really has a, it's definitely an abolitionist message, but it's very polite. Like she just...
It's palatable.
It's palatable. And it's... She covers everything.
She's very open, friendly, approachable, non-judgmental.
Yep, non-judgmental. Her style is just really, really just informational. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, and so many people say this, that it just feels like you're listening to a friend.
Yeah.
She also has a website called CompassionateCooks.com. So you can listen to her podcast through her website, or you can listen to it from iTunes. And I, you know, for so many people, and even vegans looking for... just good responses to things. I burn CDs of her podcast all the time for people and just share them, because I think she's got so much, like, just what you need to know right now, just really good responses. So she's absolutely my favorite resource.
I think I actually, same with me.
Which is how Jessica and I actually met.
Yeah, I love Colleen, and I think she's a tremendous advocate, and, her podcast, especially the earlier episodes. I think she's been doing it for about four and a half years now. And her earlier episodes are 5 to 10 minutes long, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, they're very short, and it's just answering
mostly questions.
Yep. How do you get calcium if you don't drink cow's milk, mm-hmm. and things like that? And then as time went on...
What's wrong with humane eggs?
Right. And then it's kind of evolved, and even, like, you know, animals and literature and things like that. And now I think her podcasts are more like an hour long. But
I'm also a huge fan of Jonathan Safran Foer's Eating Animals. Mm-hmm. I think that book is... so well written and so interesting. And that was one that I was kind of surprised by, because I read so much and I look up so much information on the internet about veganism that it shocks me when I find something that kind of has a message that I hadn't thought of before, or actually I learned something from. And his book definitely taught me things that I didn't know. Same with... I love this book probably more than anybody I know, but there's a book called Obligate Carnivore. I know Dallas is laughing at me, but I love this book so much. It's witty, and it's kind of, you know, it's a really short, easy read, and it's primarily about transitioning companion animals to a vegan diet and the challenges that you may find in that, and, you know, possible health issues and how to navigate that water. I don't have companion animals, and I think that there's just a lot of funny, silly stuff in there about perspective and, you know, people making stupid comments like, well, Hitler was vegetarian. Well, no, he wasn't. But anyway, but you know what I mean? Just really kind of how to deal with stupid things like that people say.
I do think it's hilarious that you talk about that book to everybody and you don't have any companion animals.
But I love it so much.
No, I know. It's fantastic. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. And that's another thing too, in terms of, I think we should definitely do a show about companion animals and veganism, but I could talk about that for a long time. But yes, I also recommend that. I agree also with what you said about Eating Animals, mm-hmm. Jonathan Safran Foer's book. I, too, have read dozens and dozens of books about animal rights, and that one stuck out. I mean, it just, the experience of reading it, I had, I mean, it just, it's potent, I guess. It's fantastic. So, I would say that. In terms of another resource, too, like, I tend to tailor when, you know, I always ask people, what's your motivation? Right. What are you looking for? And then I take it from there.
If it's health, you'd recommend, like, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine or the China Study.
Yep, and also, even if it's not, even if we're not talking about veganism, but somebody mentions that they're going, you know, to school someplace and they're pre-med, I say, oh, have you heard of PCRM? And I don't even talk about veganism at all. I just say, oh, it's a fantastic group of physicians who are all about ethical medicine. And I just leave it at that, and I say, you really have to check it out. But I think the thing that I've started giving out more than anything is I just ask somebody for their name and if they're on Facebook, and I friend them right away, because I'm always posting various things and you never know what will stick.
Yeah.
But we want to hear what you have to say from you guys.
What your resources are.
We don't want to take up all your ideas.
Jessica, do you have any other besides that you just love to give out besides Colleen?
One that I recommend a lot is I love John Robbins. And I love The Food Revolution. I think Diet for a New America is great, too. But I have friends who prefer Diet for a New America, and that kind of just spoke to them more. That was his first book, I believe. And then Food Revolution is a lot newer. And that's my personal favorite. It covers the whole gamut, sort of. It's health, a lot of ethics, environment. And it's fascinating. I love his writing style. It's very conversational, but still, you know, lots of footnotes and sources and research, and it's very, very interesting.
So this is kind of a good transition, I think, into our product review.
Jessica, a bad transition. Let's just make it really rocky somehow.
What? You want a bad transition?
I'm just joking. It's like... Well,
should we talk about pizza now?
Yeah.
Marshmallows?
No, let's go ahead and just... There, I've made it awkward. Okay, great.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for making that awkward.
Yep.
Jessica and I are actually going to do the product review. And so this ties into a giveaway with your resources. Send us, you know, like I said, post your resources. And you... She's using the product right now. And you can register to win both my favorite and Jessica's favorite... lip balm, Crazy Rumors, one of our favorite flavors.
Yes,
so,
fantastic.
Crazy Rumors is, where are they based out of? Do you know? They're not local, so, they should move to the Midwest.
It's Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay. Crazy Rumors is a vegan lip balm, and they have, 400,000 flavors?
Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I've tried all of them.
Yeah.
Yep. And they are, they're organic and chemical-free, obviously beeswax-free, and all pronounceable ingredients, which is always nice. And
the flavors are so...
delicious.
I don't want to say strong, I don't want to turn people off, but they're so, like, it's not just, like, this kind of mild, wussy flavor. It's like, oh, bam, that tastes really good.
Yeah, and I think they taste like what...
They
have like a
like
root beer one, and I guess it's not like you go around licking your lips necessarily, but it smells pleasant, and
I like to put chapstick on or lip Crazy Rumors on and then kiss my husband and say, what flavor is it? But there's black cherry, ginger ale, cola.
Yeah, and
they
have
juice,
different
amaretto.
Yeah, different like sets.
Gum.
Where they have like coffee, I believe, and then they have a tea line, and that's my favorite. They have a cinnamon tea, I believe. That one's delicious.
There's like four flavors in each kind of.
Yeah, each.
So like there's a soda pop line, and it's got four different kinds.
And coffee with
juices.
Like amaretto, hazelnut. Yeah, and then juices.
And then they also have this really cute line, which is called Hibiscus. And it's tinted. They're flavored, but it's got a little tint to it.
Okay.
It's a really nice, subtle
natural
tint.
Yeah. Nice.
I'll show you mine.
Thank you.
I think probably I have, I don't know, 57 of them around. I probably
I have
got
like
them
10
in every
in
single
each purse,
pocket.
Yep, yeah. And pocket and yeah.
Yep. So again.
Let me talk about my lip balm.
Awkward.
Mine's from Iowa, dude. Mine
okay,
is from
fine.
Iowa,
Dallas
so I'm talking about
lip balm.
It.
Fine.
Because I don't use Crazy Rumors, but
not because you don't like them.
Not because I don't like them. I just haven't gotten around to it. But I use Ecolips, beef-free stuff right now, and I'm liking it. It's from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
I want to try it.
And it's a lemon-lime flavor, although Ecolips is not an all-vegan line, so that's you got to know about that, and I'm usually all about supporting the vegan exclusive stuff.
Crazy Rumors is all vegan.
Yes.
Yep, and that's a plus for them.
Go
but
them.
This one, this one, it's a lemon-lime flavor. It's beef-free. I got it at the co-op, and we can put a link to that on there, too. But, yeah, it's also 70% organic ingredients and not, like, waxy and heavy, like, people, it's not waxy and heavy stuff. But it definitely kind of has a pungent thing. But, anyway, I like that it's local.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. So, should we move on to our green challenge?
It's time for the green challenge.
Green challenge.
Green challenge.
There's no gloves. There's no swords.
No white suits.
Uh-uh. It's just green challenge.
You're just doing the earth a solid.
So in the spirit of vegan mentors and people that have influenced the light bulbs going on for
yep,
Dallas, now she
knows I know.
What it is now. There is this super, super cute website. And God, do you think I know what it's called? They're vegan peace cards and... they, you know, just have really, really cute cards that they're just little
e-cards
that you can send to people. They have such cute ones like, you know, vegan anniversaries, you know,
yeah.
like happy birthday, vegan anniversary, the holidays,
yeah.
things like that. And what we would like you to do, is to send a thank you to somebody that's influenced your vegan life and has been supportive to you or a resource to you. Okay, so the website is veganpeace.com, and obviously that will be posted on the blog. And so it's green because...
Peace, like doves and hippies.
Yeah, but it's green because it's you're not mailing something.
Yes.
That's,
nope, it's paperless.
It's paperless. So...
And they're cute.
And people like to be acknowledged for having...
for anything, they
yeah.
like to be acknowledged.
I acknowledge you right now.
I want to know what for, though. You know, you got to have some reason, even if it's little.
I think you're awesome.
Yes, I knew it.
Yeah. I think you're awesome, too. Do you guys think I'm awesome?
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
I think Elliot's awesome, too.
I think so.
We acknowledge you, Elliot.
Silent Elliot. Silent Elliot's awesome. Elliot is awesome because he is our producer, and he puts up with us, and he does it for free, and he's always... just here to drink beer and
and be technical.
And be technical and help us out.
Yeah.
And you have both been highly influential in my vegan life.
Cool.
First, Jessica, because you were the first vegan I ever met.
Yes, because you were first.
Because you were first.
I was first.
And Dallas, you have really transformed my activism and helped me to be... consistent and to be part of an organization that is consistent in their veganism and in the kinds of events that they do. And you've been monumental and you've been a great friend and you also have been a great friend.
Likewise.
So there's, so now I don't even need to send you.
You don't even need to
send
yeah, yeah.
I just did it. But you all still need to do it.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I think I'm going to do? I mean, not because... there hasn't been anybody. I mean, I don't know. I'll figure something out, and I will do this green challenge because I do not let a green challenge go by without me taking it. I rise to the occasion and expect you to as well. So, but what I'm going to do is my birthday is next Saturday.
Saturday.
It's Saturday. And what I've been doing on my birthday for the past few years is I send out an email or a card, and I ask people in my life who are not vegan to be vegan for me on my birthday.
Oh,
as my gift.
That's
neat.
A great idea.
So I'll use veganpeace.com to do that and send out my
my idea.
Birthday requests for people. You know, sometimes people just, you know, like instead of gifts,
mm-hmm.
give to this organization. But what I want to do is I want to say, you know, instead of even donating something, all I want you to do is be vegan for me for the day. And if you want any support in that, you want any ideas or anything.
Idea.
Let me know. Hopefully, you know, I mean, even I wouldn't even care if it's on my birthday and I'm getting calls from everybody in the world saying, what do I eat for lunch?
Yeah.
That would be
Help
fine.
Me.
But, hopefully they could get, you know, plan ahead a little bit if it was going to be that big a deal for them.
Look at how cute these e-cards are.
Absolutely.
And they have ones that are just, aww. Okay, so they have everything like a normal e-card, you know, like sympathy and anniversaries and new vegan, which is so cute, and vegan
cute.
Anniversary and Valentine's Day. And
you
like
love
that.
The vegan anniversary. It's like the fourth time you've mentioned it.
I do, because it's so neat. I think it's fun to honor, like, you know, that
absolutely, yes. I wish I knew my date.
That you've hit.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the month and the year, but I wish I knew the date,
the Vegiversary.
Too. Yeah.
The cards are so cute, sending you a vegan hug, and there's little pigs and sheep and one of those deer. Aww.
Yeah.
Look at the pigs kissing.
Okay. Okay. Go to the site on your own and drool yourself. Okay.
So, events. Are we ready for events?
Yeah, let's talk about events.
We have so many events to talk about today. So, I mean, just... You know, sit there and listen.
Take some notes, or actually, probably all you need to do is listen for your
city. Bust out your calendar.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so
unless you're going to be road tripping it all over the Midwest to hit them all up. But the first thing is, last time we talked, we mentioned the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, doing it Twin Cities style, because we're in the Twin Cities, and so we know about that. But I also did a follow up with Gary. Gary, you're awesome. Gary is awesome. So. Ryan put up on the blog at midwestveganradio.blogspot.com worldwide vegan bake sales happening all over the Midwest. So we've got them in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, and Ohio. And if you didn't hear your state, get in touch with Gary and start organizing one, please. There's a website there on our blog. So
yep, I put the link to the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale website on there. So that site will actually tell you, because I just included the cities and states, but you can find out where the specific locations are.
Let me say the cities, because it's really cool. So we've got Minneapolis in Wisconsin. We've got Madison, Milwaukee, and Oshkosh. Illinois has three happening in Chicago. There's one in Hinsdale and
Palatine.
Yeah. Missouri has Livonia and St. Louis. And Kansas has Shawnee Mission and Wichita, and Ohio has Akron and Cincinnati.
Yep.
So that's really cool, and Midwesterners rock. So.
But there's, if you go to the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale website, it shows you where they are everywhere, not just the Midwest ones.
Yep,
but
everywhere, and they'll also have exact locations, so you're not just wandering around Akron, Ohio, being like, where's the vegan cupcakes?
Vegan
and there'll be a time and everything. All the stuff you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So go check out our blog and get in details on that. And then April 28th in Ames, Iowa, at 7 p.m. at a place called London Underground, there will be vegan drinks. And basically, I don't know how they do it in Ames, but the way we do it in the Twin Cities is people show up, they order drinks, they might get some food.
Vegan food. They mingle,
talk to each other. You know, it's basically like vegan cocktail hour, which is pretty cool.
We haven't had one since January, and we usually do ours at the Triple Rock. And last time we did trivia, which was super fun. But it's so fun to be at a bar, because usually kind of you're in a separate area, and damn near everyone there is vegan, and it's so much the opposite of when you normally go out and you're the one vegan. Like, you are, like, everybody's pretty much, most people are vegan or vegetarian, or at least interested in that, and it's just so nice to be
part of your clan.
Yeah.
You're with your tribe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how they do it in Ames. Every city's got their own style, so, you know.
Presumably it's similar.
Yeah, hopefully Ames is rocking it well. And then we've got in Moorhead, Minnesota, which, you know, Minnesota's a big place, so even though we're in the Twin Cities, Moorhead's, you know, like 300 miles away or something. So Moorhead, Minnesota, their group called some kind of like Moorhead Fargo Veg group. They're doing a spring potluck at the public library in Moorhead. Presumably there's one.
otherwise, 17 public libraries.
Yep, and that's on May 2nd, and they're going to chow down at 5:30 p.m. So go hang out with them if you want to meet some vegan people in Moorhead. And then we've got the Living Green Expo, which is happening in St. Paul.
The Animal Rights Coalition is doing that event.
The Animal Rights Coalition is going to have a booth there at the Living Green Expo, which is at the State Fairgrounds, and that's a two-day event. It's May 7th and 8th. Again,
May 8th is Mother's Day.
Yeah, May 8th is Mother's Day. The Living Green Expo is huge. It's like an entire day that you would likely invest in going to walk around, or at least half a day, I suppose. And you see all these different green vendors. Unfortunately, there's a lot of like quote unquote humane meat there, which does suck quite a bit. But if you're going, make sure that you ask them what they're doing at a green expo.
Animal agriculture of any kind is not green.
It's not.
Not even a little.
So they're going to be there. And then on Sunday at 2 p.m., I am going to be doing a workshop called Veganism 201, and that's at the Living Green Expo. So it's basically for people who are seriously interested in transitioning to veganism. So you already know what it is. You have the basic idea. You get the reasons why, or you have your own reason, but you want to actually start in getting into the nuts and bolts. How do I do this? And we're going to be talking about that. So come down and hang out with me on May 8th. Oh, also, at that same location, there's a huge plant sale happening at the State Fairgrounds that weekend as well. It's the Friends Plant Sale. A private school is doing their big fundraiser, and that's really fun and awesome, too.
So go get some plants.
Go get some tomato plants. And then we've got Madison, Wisconsin.
On Saturday, May 14th.
Saturday, May 14th, 6 to 8 p.m., we've got the Spring Fiesta and Silent Auction that Alliance for Animals is doing, and this is at the UW Arboretum. Seriously, if you're in Madison or anywhere near there, you have to go and you've got to bid on scuba diving lessons.
And then give it to Dallas.
And I'm actually kind of afraid of going underwater, but for the animals, I would do it. So,
and that's from 6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, scuba diving lessons, that's awesome. So go. And then we have a Petland demo, or a couple of them, rather. We've got Petland demonstrations, and remember, these are protests against Petland for selling animals and educating the public about puppy mills.
And if you want more information about that, listen to, I think, our last episode or the one before that, where we talked about how fun and not scary they are.
Yes, I think that was episode one. May 15th. 12 to 1:30, that's going to be in the St. Paul location. Oh, and May 29th, 2 to 3:30, that's also the St. Paul location.
Mm-hmm.
Go check out the Facebook page, Minnesotans Exposing Petland. And there's more of them even than that. There's some in Shakopee. And,
yep.
You know, go check it out. It's a great Facebook page. You should like it. May 15th, that same day, after you've gone and stood up for the dogs, you can go and cheer for them at the St. Paul Saints game. So the St. Paul Saints, how would you describe them? They're like a minor league? A minor league baseball team?
I think so. I don't know what the whole A things are, like the AAA clubs. And we could get Adam out here and he could tell us all about that. But and of note, Bill Murray used to be co-owner or owner of the St. Paul Saints. I don't know if he still is.
Apparently, like, all over the place, it says in Minnesota, it has to be on your bucket list to go to a Saints game at least once.
I've heard they're really fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a big, like, community extravaganza fun thing, but that's a fundraiser for Small Dog Rescue of Minnesota. So you should totally come out. Check out the website at smalldogsminnesota.org and get information about how to order your tickets.
That information will be on the blog, too. Go to the blog. There's a telephone number for who you can call or where you can go online to order those tickets.
So, yep, you go. The tickets are they're cheap. They're only $15 for great seating.
You can bring your dog.
You can bring your dog, and it's going to be so much fun. And then after the game, kids and dogs get to run the bases together, which will be really cute.
Oh, very cute.
So come on out, meet some adoptable dogs, and maybe find out if you want to volunteer and help save lives. And then in June, this is a big deal. It's way out. It's kind of way out there, but you should totally mark your calendar for it now, and it is worth a road trip. Ryan and I are going.
Mm-hmm.
We are road tripping it down to Mad City Vegan Fest in Madison.
And Mad City Vegan Fest, according to their website, is an event for vegans, vegetarians, and anyone interested in ethical choices that are better for the health, for animals, and the environment. There's going to be tons of vegan food there to sample, local and national vegan businesses that you can meet people and learn about different companies, meet other people that care about ethical living. And we're road tripping it down there. It's kind of a day event. It's from 10 to 5 at the Goodman Community Center, which is 149, I don't even know how to say that street name, W-A-U-B-E-S-A,
Wabessa
Street,
Wabessa,
in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're taking a trip, heading down there.
Absolutely.
Yep, and that all of this information will be on the blog, so if you feel like you missed it or want more information before deciding to go to something.
MidwestVeganRadio.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm gonna post
that. Seriously, come down to Mad City Vegan Fest and find us.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
I know.
And Madison's an awesome city. It's actually one of my favorite cities.
I've never been.
I love it.
Yep, it's good. So that's the events. Now that your social calendar is figured out.
Yeah.
Where are we at? Is there anything else? We're done.
We're done. Jess, do you have anything else you want to say?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Oh, we had Thin Mints.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The domestic vegan was nice enough to make vegan Thin Mints for us. So
They're from the new Baby Cakes cookbook. They're, it's Baby Cakes NYC Bakery in New York City, and they actually have one in Los Angeles now. And they actually, I believe they have a new location in Disney World as well that is where a McDonald's used to be.
Nice.
The McDonald's closed down and Baby Cakes moved in. And so anyways, they have a couple cookbooks. Their first cookbook, not my favorite. It's a lot of, it's a beautiful book, but a lot of flop recipes, unfortunately. Mm. But this new one, it's Baby Cakes covers the classics, and there is the recipe for Thin Mints in there, and it's all gluten-free, actually, and donuts and muffins and I think muffins and
are
cakes.
You,
and
I know it's not your recipe, but are you putting it on your blog?
Actually, I did not put the recipe on my blog. I put pictures of the cookies on my blog, and then it's actually the sample recipe on the Baby Cakes Amazon page. Like, if you go to Amazon to buy that book, the ingredients are on there and the recipe. So,
awesome.
Yeah, they're delicious, if I do say so myself.
And I thought so. Elliot, did you like them?
Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you.
So
I feel like I can say they're delicious.
For the bake sale.
I'm going to. I'm planning on it.
What are you making?
I'm making those. I'm doing two different kinds of cookies. That'll be one kind. I'm not sure on the other one yet. And then two cupcakes.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's so
generous. Yeah, I'm happy to.
And awesome.
So I don't know if you caught that. That's for Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale. So get your buns down there and try these
comments.
Yeah.
Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, Twin Cities style.
Yes.
But there should be equally awesome things in your own Midwest town.
Or come to Minneapolis.
Or come to Minneapolis. Hang out with us. It's on Easter, and we'll love to hang out with you.
Yeah. So, I think that's it.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica, for
coming
in.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for joining us.
It was super fun.
All right. Midwest Vegan Radio.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Bye.
Bye.